Shall we stand? Psalm 34, 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked at him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
I worship with all of my heart. I will praise you with all of my strength. I will sing you with all of my deeds. I will follow all your ways. I will give you all my worship. I will give
together to worship you, to praise you, and to learn about you this morning. Lord, it's through the cross and your sacrifice and through your amazing grace we get to come to you directly today, just to love on you, to pray to you, and to be with you. So thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill this room. Fill our place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated.
grace that's all my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the I first believed. My chains are gone, is good to me, His word my hope secure, His will my shield and portion me, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, His mercy reigns. Amazing love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever high, will be
Father, for all of that, it's so much more. It's why we are here to praise you. It's why we're here to lift our voices, our hearts, our minds, wills, emotions, everything. As we know from both the Old Testament and New Testament, that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And that's the great, everything hangs on that. And Father, as we need to realize that that's not just for Christians. That is God's command for His creation, which shows you how angry He is when people don't do that, and why He has to judge. But then we see God's amazing grace poured out on the wonderful cross, where because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. And as Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Jesus said, if you hear my voice and follow me, you're one of my sheep. And so, Lord, I pray that everyone in this room this morning has heard the voice of the Lord Jesus somewhere in their life, through a sermon, through reading the word, So somehow we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We pray that somehow we have heard that and the Holy Spirit got a hold of us on the inside and said, this is you, man. This is you. You're in trouble. Because you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And God told Adam at the beginning, you disobey me and death is the consequence. And we're not just talking physical death, we're talking eternal death. There to be with the devil and his angels forever. But that was not God's design and not his purpose. So he sent a redeemer. He sent someone to pay the price that we could never pay. And as we come to the communion service a little bit later, and we remember that on that cross, Jesus gave his body in the place of ours to be tortured and to die, to be killed. And he shed his blood instead of ours to redeem us from the sin that we all were in. And Father, we recognize that even as your children, even as believers in Jesus Christ, we still don't love you with all our heart, soul, and mind consistently and perfectly, but you know. And you know that that's the desire of our heart, and you know that from step by step in our lives, you are bringing us closer to that point, to the fulfillment when we get to heaven. Oh my goodness, and we see Jesus face to face, and we see the scars in his hand and in his feet, and he looks at us and embraces us and says, welcome home, dear son or daughter. Then we will love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And in the meantime, we get a little bit closer every breath we take. And that's why your amazing grace is so important to us, Father. So as we now come to almost the middle of June, this year's flying by. We pray for those that are ill. We know that Carol Goth has her hip surgery on Friday. A friend of ours from the NAMI group, Charlotte, I think, has her surgery on Wednesday. And the rest of us have this, that, or the other thing. And so, Lord, may that not get in the way of our worship of you. But we pray for your healing. We pray for your enablement. And we pray for wisdom for the doctors. And we got people come that have big things coming up. And you know all of that. And then we live in a world that is in turmoil. We've got the Middle East. We got the East and the West East. We got the globe. And Lord, we're in trouble. So we pray for an awakening of your Holy Spirit to get a hold of lives. And they will say yes to you by saying, not my will, but yours be done. And so, Father, we thank you. As we've gathered together, I know every week, and I think that's part of the blessing of gathering together on Sunday morning, the Lord's Day, as we realize we come from a week that may have been disastrous. We come from a week that may be full of pain and disappointment and frustration, and we sit here. And I pray that God speaks to you and says, trust me, child. We're going to do it again next week. And I'm there to help you. Situations, circumstances may not change yet, but I will never leave nor forsake you. And I love those reminders all the time. Thank you, God. So if you're here this morning and it was a tough week, spend just a few quiet moments and let the Lord know. And ask him, Lord, help me for a better week. Spend a few quiet moments in prayer. So, Father, we do pray for our president. We pray for our vice president. We pray for our congressmen. We pray for our senators. We pray for our governor. We pray for our board of supervisors. We pray that you would lead them, as Paul told Timothy, so that we could live a quiet and peaceful life. But more than that, we pray that they would come to realize that there is one man, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And may they experience, all of them experience, I trust the peace that we have experienced because we have come to the foot of the cross and we've let the blood of Jesus wash us clean. Though we were as scarlet, we have become white as snow by placing our faith in you. Thank you for that, Lord. And I think we would all say the answer to the first part of this next hymn is, would you be free from the burden of sin? Yeah. Would you be free from your passion and pride? Yeah. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? Please. And would you do service for Jesus our King? Yes, we would. There's power in the blood. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, shall we stand? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you more evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you sung about that we would desire is available through Jesus Christ. And it's available through him because he went to the cross for us. So open our hearts and our minds now as we see this glorious truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26, please.
Come to the communion service. I want us to take a look at our Lord Jesus hours before the cross as we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. He is distressed because he knows the cross is coming. Palm Sunday has come and gone And in the middle of that, in John 12, he says, it's time and I'm distressed. Shall I pray that this escape? No, because for this purpose I came to this. And he spent John chapter 14, 15, and 16 with his disciples in the upper room, preparing them to live without his physical presence. And he knows it's hours away. And I want you to feel his passion as a human being. Some of you have big things happening coming up, right? Surgeries or whatever. And you know it's coming. And you know, it's comfortable for me when it's a year out, 6 months out. Yeah, I know it's going to. It's a little bit different when it's, my goodness, that's Friday. That's Tuesday. And I wake up on the day and I pray, oh, dear Lord, number one, I'd rather not do this. Number two, work through these people to care for me. I am your son, and I'm in their hands. You be the hands behind their hands. But, you know, there's stress and there's some anxiety there. And this is building up in Jesus. So after they have the communion service, and after the great prayer of John 17, they go to the Mount of Olives, and we pick up the story there. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And it came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping, and for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words again. And he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. This scene in the garden, you know, I'm sure is not new to any of you. And it's like the more you look at this, the more the Holy Spirit shows you things, and there's a lot in here. And on Wednesday, on Friday, with the Living Room Edition, which is what it's on YouTube, we went through a little more detail on this. This morning, I want to just make one point. And as we come to the communion service, we want to focus on this. Not my will, but yours be done. I'm sure all of us have battled wills. And I'm not talking, you know, when you die, oh, you've inherited the Queen Mary or whatever. I don't know why I said that. But we're talking about what I desire, what I want to do. Jesus clearly said, Father, if this cup can pass, and the cup he's talking about is he knows he's going to be on the cross, he's going to bear the sins of his children, and his Father's going to turn his back on him and punish him for all of our sins. That's what he didn't want to do. Because as a human being, he knew that he was going to be separated from his Father somehow for that time period. That's why he cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The answer to that question, if the Father were to answer it, he would say, because of Bill Sidorovich. Some 2,000 years from now, he's going to be born. We chose him before the foundation of the world, but he's a stinker. And he's got sin, so we got to take care of that. So that's what you're doing, Lord. That's what you're doing, son. Right? That's why I'm turning your back on me, because I'm treating you as if you did all of his sin. Or yours. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's you. You're the one. You're the reason he died. And yet, as he was looking to that point, his soul was deeply grieved. You know what battle of wills are. Battle of wills break up marriages. A battle of will breaks up business partners. A battle of wills breaks up friendships, because this is what I want to do, and that's what you want to do, and you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do, and if we can't make this work, I'm out of here. It happens all the time. But Jesus, at the hour of his greatest human need, and you know, it says, I'm sorrowful to the point of death. Later in Luke 22, it says he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. And he prayed for 3 hours that way. And the angels came and ministered to him, or he may have died in the garden. And Mark's account says, when he says, Father, you are all powerful. Find another way. I mean, pretty dramatic, right? God, you can do this. I'm out of here. We're not going to do it this way. We have all been in that position. Maybe you're in that position this morning. You're battling what you know is God's will, and yet you don't want to do it. You're just not there yet, and so you're battling. That's what he's doing for 3 hours. How was he able to say, not my will, but yours be done? How did Jesus get to that point? I want to suggest to you three things. Number one, he was able to say, after 3 hours of agonizing prayer, after living a perfect life for 33 some years, he was able to say, not my will, but yours be done, because he loved the Father. Because he loved the Father. At the end of John 14, Jesus has this amazing statement. At the end of John 14, he says, verse 30, I will no longer talk with much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, which was go to the cross. That's why he came to earth. He knows that. I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Because we obey the people we love. One thing I'm learning after 51 plus years of marriage is I don't want to lose my wife. And as we have matured in our love, it's been a while. I get to the point easier all the time. When there's a clash of wills, what do you want? What's best for you? And I will yield. Number one, that's what God told me to do in Ephesians 5. Husbands are to love their wives, presenting them holy and blameless. So I got to be careful. God's going to hold me accountable for how I treat my wife. So I yield because I love her. Now, with you, it may be a little different. No, I'm just kidding. Well, maybe not kidding. Depending on the issue. But you get the point. You're going to yield to someone you love. And as Jesus says, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to go to the cross. But I love you, Father, so I will do what you want to do. Okay, that's the first reason he did. Number two, he was able to say, not my will, but yours be done, because he believed in the plan. He believed in the plan. And the plan was our redemption. The plan was he had to come and shed his innocent blood for our sin. The plan was redemption. He says, I believe the plan. I may not like the plan at this point, but I'm in with the plan. And you know, when you're having a discussion with somebody and there's a battle of wills, if you both believe the plan, it's much easier to say, okay, if we got a bite, you know, not my will, but yours be done. We can do it that way, because I believe in the plan. The plan may be worship. The plan may be a business adventure. The plan may be something to do in a marriage or a friendship. You know, you want to keep that together. I believe the plan. And you realize, you know what the plan, you know what God's plan is for you and me? Romans 8:29, that we be conformed to the image of His Son. Hebrews 12:10, that He's going to discipline us so that we will share His holiness. That's His plan. To be like Jesus and to share His holiness. And I've thought about this on several occasions. Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through this. Okay, but Your plan for me is perfection. Your plan for me is what is best. And I don't know what is best, but You do. You see, it's easier, I think, for us, and even for Jesus, to say, not my will, but Yours be done, because I believe in the plan, because God is perfect. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows His complete plan for me, and I don't. So everywhere along the line, there's a bump. It becomes easier to say, not my will, but Yours be done, because my love for You is growing, and I believe in the plan You have. The plan for you, for me, is to present me before You holy and blameless in heaven, Ephesians 1. Number three, Jesus was able to say, not my will, but Yours be done, because He loved the Father. He believed the plan. Number three, He trusted the plan. In other words, I don't want to do this because I'm giving up my life. And as a man, he knew when you gave up your life, you didn't get it back. So he says, I trust that this is going to work. I trust that my blood and my sacrifice will be sufficient for our sheep. And then I trust You will raise me from the dead on the third day. It's like when I went through the things I did for my cancer. I trusted every time I walked into that radiation room. And when they say, don't move, don't move. You know, I moved, I made a little adjustment when they were getting ready, and she says on the intercom, did you move? And I says, excuse me, because I know once that thing starts and I don't want them to zap the wrong place. And so, but I trusted, I believed my doctor. Because we prayed, God, work through this man. We prayed to make this decision. And so I went in believing the plan. And when they say you want to do this and do that, I say, I don't want to do that. You know, a few things you got to do, but okay, not my will, but Yours be done, because I believe in this plan. So how did Jesus get to loving the Father so much, believing in the plan so much, trusting in the plan so much? You want to know how He got there? How did He get to a point of surrender? By 3 hours in prayer. By 3 hours in prayer. Whereas I have thought about this week and got over this, I began to realize, you know, I think part of the prayer that he was going over for 3 hours is, Father, I don't want to do this, but I love You. I remember the good times we had. I remember all those things You did for me. And then maybe he prayed through the plan. I know this is why I came to earth. I know that the plan is for me to do this so they can be with me forever. I know the plan is for You to raise me from the dead. I know that we're going to be forever. And he may have just prayed through the plan over and over, and then he prayed through the trust of his Father. Father, I trust You. You sent me to earth. You have not forsaken me. You got me through the temptations. You've allowed me to do these miracles. Oh, and just over and over. You see, you've got to know the plan. So it's not just 3 hours of prayer. Maybe it's 3 hours of prayer with this book. It's going over the Bible over and over and over. If you don't know, and I can give you a link, Grant Horner has come up with a reading plan. Take you at least a half an hour a day. And it's 10 chapters a day. But the thing that I've done this before, the thing that I love is it takes you all through the Bible. For example, I since I just recently started again, I'm in Matthew. Then I go to Genesis. Then I go to Romans. Then I go to 1 Thessalonians. Then I go to Job, Psalm, Proverbs. Then I go to Joshua, Isaiah, and Acts. Is that 10? And I find what happens is you get the whole picture and you understand the plan. And you see how God has worked the plan. And so it helps me to know in these tough situations where, God, I know what you told me to do. I don't want to do it. Be honest. But then say, after 3 hours of prayer, Father, I've read your book. Help me understand your book. And help me grow in love with this book. And then help me say, not my will, but yours be done. And you know what happens when you do that? You know what happens when we surrender our will? When we get out of the way? When we do say, not my will, but yours be done? Peace. Peace is what happens. Paul told us in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. So for Jesus, yeah, the cross, you want me not to be anxious about the cross? You're kidding me, Paul. He says, no, I'm not kidding. But in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And he did. I don't want to die. I don't want to do this. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Next verse, in the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The amazing thing about surrendering your will to his and getting out of the way is he gives you that peace. He gives you the peace in the midst of the hurricane. It's like the eye in the middle of the storm, and you don't. I shouldn't be feeling this way. It's the Holy Spirit ministering to you when you got out of the way. Number two, you not only experience peace, but power. The power. You can read Ephesians. If we ever finish Luke, we may do Ephesians. At the first chapter, he says, pray that your eyes would be open and that you'd understand the power that's within you. It's the power that rose Jesus from the dead. And then he goes to Ephesians 3:20. Right now, unto him, God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or think, how? According to the power that works within us. So I got through my procedure, which is a miracle, because you know I get these allergies every year. My head is stuffed up usually from November to next November. But a year ago, from January to March, didn't happen. Because I had to lay there and not move for about 15 minutes. And we had to drive to Sonora every day. And it never snowed and closed the road. And I think that was God. And that helps me now as I see how he's helping me to whatever comes up to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. So as we hold that cracker in our hand, it is there to remind us of the body of Jesus. Remember, as he went to the cross, it wasn't easy. But you know, he prayed 3 hours in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. And as he comes out, who is peaceful and powerful? Jesus. Where are his disciples? They're falling apart. They flee. Why? Because they slept. Father, this is such a gorgeous story. And it's not a story, it's a recounting of what happened on the cross for us. And Lord, I know that we all struggle with this will thing. Because, you know, we all like to say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Okay, I challenge you to do that for 3 hours with God and see if you don't get to the end and say, oh, not my will, but yours be done. So, Father, this service was meant as Jesus gave it to us on the night he went to the cross so that we would remember. And remember his body broken for us as we take the bread, the cracker.
We remember his blood shed for the remission of sin. And we know that throughout the Old Testament, that's what was needed. Because God said, he told Adam, you eat of this tree, you die. So death is always what needs to happen to take care of sin. Started in the garden. God had to kill some animals to clothe them. And it culminates in Jesus Christ hanging on a cross for me and for you if you're a believer. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, if you've committed your life to him, take these moments and say, Lord, are we still battling wills? What part of my life am I saying no? No, I'm not going to do that. Move us all to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Because there is power in the blood. There's no other way to be free from the burden of sin but to say, not my will, but yours be done. There's no other way to be free from your passion and pride but to say, no, not my will, but yours be done. There's no way to be whiter than snow. There's no way to serve him but to say, not my will, but yours be done. So, Father, may we think about that and allow your Holy Spirit to teach and talk to each one of us as we sing and pray and as we partake together. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Toward thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, tis thou. I love thee because thou first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis thou. I love thee in life, I love thee in death. And praise thee as long as thou wilt bless me breath. And sing when the death dew lies cold on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, in mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis thou. Oh Lord, what a privilege to love you. Oh, we thank you for everything you did. And may we not forget. I know we'll leave here and we got things to do. But may your Spirit cause your word and these words to come back to us, and especially the love of Jesus. And in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had blessed it and broke it, he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take ye and eat of this. This is for you to remember my body, which is broken for you." Let's do it. Disciples were well aware that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. For centuries, they have done this. And they didn't get it then, but they got it afterwards, that it was all going to culminate when Jesus went to the cross. So when he held up that cup, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood shed for the remission of sins." He wasn't talking about the wine in the cup. He said, this is to symbolize, this is to represent my blood that's about to be shed. And he did it for you and for me. And somehow, it's as if we were the only person alive. As you hold that cup, you know about the thief on the cross. You know that as Jesus was being crucified, there were two criminals crucified with him, one on either side, and they were hurling abuse. They were cussing him out at the beginning. "Save us, get us out of here," and then, "Oh." At one point, one thief said, "Wait a minute." Looked across his friend, across the other, he said, "Shut up. You know what? We're dying for what we deserve. This man has done nothing wrong." And he turned to Jesus and he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, so this is in parentheses, all right? "Son, I've been waiting a long time to have you say that." In the parentheses. So what Jesus said was, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Why? Because you're trusting me to care for your sin. So as Jesus held that cup, he said, "Gentlemen, I want you to remember this." And he understood that they would remember better after the Holy Spirit came and he was gone. "This is my blood shed for the remission of sin. It's for a take together." There is a Spirit lives within each one of us as believers, and you have a job for us to do. May we leave this place resolving to say, Father, I want to be like Jesus and say, not my will but yours be done. For your glory and for our own good, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.